I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna.
Exactly. And that's why when like we go off the rails on something totally off topic, I don't stop it. I was just like, all right, let's cool. Let's lean into that. And then like no one. And I'm sure like if for someone who's listening to this, like it's probably jarring when they're like used to a certain type of podcast. Like, you know, say if you like, and I'm not comparing us to the Pod Save America guys, but like, say you like the Pod Save America guys, you turn it on, like you get your political content. Yeah. They throw in some jokes here and there, but like, they don't just like totally veer off the rails into some totally non politically related podcast for 5-10 minutes at a time. And we can do that. And that's totally fine because much like the Levitard show, this is actually it is in some ways a parody of what a political podcast is supposed to sound like, the same way that's a parody of what a sports talk show.
I can get frozen pizzas from Lou Malnati from a decent amount.
No one knows what Lou Malnati's is.
Yes, everyone knows what Lou Malnati's is, Derek. It's a very famous pizza place in Chicago.
It really is.
I is waiting for a pizza from there for right now.
Yeah, and it should get there in the next 40 minutes or so. Fingers crossed.
Because you got a thin one. Deep dish would have made it take an hour and a half. Anyway, I can order 7 frozen thin crust pizzas for $134.99, including
seven,
and it comes to $19.28 per pizza, but then I still have to cook them.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey, this is D Knight.
This is Kyle.
This is Ty.
And Tara is out with AIDS or something. No, she has like a upper respiratory tract infection. I'll get to that in just a second. And you're listening to the Part of the Insurrection podcast. So what happened is Tara was posting on Twitter and she was responding to some individual who was accusing her of basically controlling the world because she's Jewish. I don't know what was going on with that, but it was pretty like this person ended up posting a meme of like this figure in a hood doing like the Darth Vader, rather. I'm sorry, I'm getting my Star Wars lore confused here. Please, all you Star Wars fans, don't kill me. Doing the Emperor Palpatine force lightning thing with his fingers with the caption, "You are Jewish." Right. And she was like, "Yeah, and tell me what's wrong with being Jewish in front of all of Twitter, you miserable, pathetic anti-Semite." And my response to that, as in like, you know, what's wrong with being Jewish because of this meme. And I love you, Jewish people. I'm on your side.
This is the same guy that called her child, like a pedophile or something.
No, that was somebody. That was a different troll. Anyway, so like my response to this meme and her post was, you know, like what's wrong with being Jewish? The Schwartz is in you. If you're a Spaceballs fan, you also probably fond of that reference. Anyway, so this other individual responded to that by saying that I'm black and have AIDS. So, yeah. In case you were wondering why AIDS was on my mind, it's not because I have AIDS or because Tara has AIDS. It's just because, like, that was such a random, awkward response.
You know what? I bet he was trying to make thought he was being cute and making a Haiti reference because of all the stuff that all of the unrest that's going on in Haiti. And when, like, that was a big trope that when we were getting a rush of the last time there was like violence and stuff, when a lot of Haitians were coming over. And
did
I remember someone
AIDS?
Was saying, yes, that's what they were saying, because they did have, within the population on the island, like at that time, but that was the thing to demonize Haitians at that time. And so I remember, I don't know if you know who Jason Lee is from Hollywood Unlocked.
Oh my God.
Like, so I used to listen to
him. So we, this is actually going down the right wing Twitter rabbit hole.
Well, no, it was one of his co-hosts, Blue. She's Haitian. And she came in when she was like 7 or 8. And so she would talk about like when she was in school and stuff, the people, oh, you got, you know, that was like how, when she was being bullied and stuff. And then that was the kind of, like what they were getting from people. And there was just always like kind of the thing. So I think that, you know, because basically to racists, all Black folks come from that one country called Africa, you know?
All right. Well, no. This seems like a perfect time to mention our sponsor in association with AIDS. We are Sheets and Giggles podcast. I don't know if you're aware, but if you're sleeping on anything less than the highest quality sheets that you can get from sheetsandgiggles.com, you are ruining your life. And of course, like, you know, as opposed to Bloodbath and beyond, make sure you head to sheetsandgiggles.com and pick up you some high quality sheets today. Of course, and we've got some links in the show notes for you to get a part in the insurrection discount, courtesy of your boy hooking you up so you ain't got to spend all your money. You're welcome. He's going to kill us if he listens to this episode, because, like, in no way, shape, form, or fashion does he want his sheets associated with AIDS. Man.
I just got my one set of sheets, said he was going to send me whatever and whatever. Pay me if you want me to say this stuff, you know?
If you're going to contract some AIDS, you might as well do it on the best sheets on the planet.
I say we scrap the whole beginning of this episode and start again. This is D-Night. This is Carol.
This is Ty.
And you're listening to This Is the Pardon the Insurrect. Damn it.
It's tough, isn't it? Yeah, it takes a little bit of practice to nail that introduction. All right, as for the usual.
You are correct. Yes. You do so smoothly.
I appreciate that. So as per the usual, we've got like endless amounts of news and we won't be able to cover it all because I just don't understand like the rate at which the Republican Party is able to engage in either criminal activity or absolutely fucking bonkers shenanigans. Like, it's unparalleled. It's unmatched in the history of the universe. I've never seen anything like it. We're living in an era of insanity that we're heretofore never been exposed to.
Never been exposed to.
That was an awesome song, Carol.
I'm great.
It's Tuesday as we're recording this. The primary in Ohio has wrapped up. Of course, your boy Joe Biden is crushing the competition. I can't remember exactly what the results were, but I think he's like 80 points up on whatever the next highest vote getter is. That might be Dean Phillips, might be. You know what? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Well, no, it doesn't matter specifically because he's fucking destroying it. He's getting Vladimir Putin numbers in the primary. He's on some Russia level type shit.
Good comparison.
Yeah.
You're on fire.
Thank you. I think I do okay from time to time. On the flip side, in the Republican primary, however, one, Donald J. Trump is struggling to beat the competition, even though Nikki Haley has since dropped out. But more importantly than that, there are some interesting exit poll numbers in the GOP primary with.
According to
NBC News, 20% of Republicans say they will never vote for Trump. And this is Ohio Republicans. 11% of those Republican Party voters say they would be willing to vote for Joe Biden in November, with another 8% saying that they will not vote for either candidate in November. Ty,
that's bad.
Do you know what that number adds up to?
Much.
It adds up to
19%. Oh, losing?
No, Ohio? Yes, it exactly. It adds up to Trump getting his ass whooped in Ohio in November. And if Ohio, which is at this point over the last decade, a very red leaning state, if this is the number that Trump is getting with the people in his own party in a primary in Ohio, you can only imagine what kind of hellfire will be raining down upon him come election time in November in swing states that are a lot closer to purple than they are to red. How y'all feel about that?
You know, the thing is, what was bothering me is the that 8% neither. I that's giving me anxiety. That's just.
But those are just Republican voters.
Yeah. I mean, look, I know in an ideal world, you want every Republican who's disillusioned with Trump and the MAGA wing of the Republican, well, I guess it's like the majority of the Republican Party at this point. You'd all want them to show up in November and cast that vote for Joe Biden, right?
Yeah.
But in the real world where we exist, where, you know, the party politics is so polarized that no matter how much they hate Trump, some of these people just never going to vote for Democrats no matter what, because, you know, of course, the internet brain rot has affected such a large majority of people. Like, you can't expect that. But the next best thing to voting for Joe Biden when you were a Trump voter in 2016 is to just not vote at all. Like, if 8% of Trump's voters from 2016 just all of a sudden disappear, whoosh, gone, like overnight in 2024, it's a wrap. It is a wrap, folks. You're hearing it first here. It is over. It's official. Like, I'm calling it now. Like, if this exit poll is representative of anything,
then we're going to get a bloodbath.
Carol, only in the context of the 2024 electoral prospects, not an actual bloodbath. See, how hard is that to say?
Well, yeah, if that's what I would mean, but I am not. That's
You're not a psychopath.
The fans of his, yeah, but they're just, I just don't get the those idiots who are like, where's your bloodbath outfit? Like, are you saying you're gonna, like, well, I thought that was it. When you lose, you're just still gonna do a bloodbath? What's the point?
They're just like, you know, they sit here and they're like, he was talking about the auto industry. They said that shit. Like, we have not watched this fucker's rallies for the past shit. Well, they were not ever good. But since the big lie came about, it's been 4 years of just increasingly violent, insightful, hateful rhetoric. But the way that they just go, he was talking about, it's the exact same sentence, and they go, the context was like, dude, you don't even know what context means. Like, you never used that word in your life.
But like, because I talked about this the other day on the podcast, but like, if you listen to the actual quote, he literally tells you the context, because he was about to say the auto industry, and then he said, like, that's the least of it. It'll yes, be a blood. Exactly. That's the least of it. It'll be a bloodbath for the entire country. So, like, he literally told you it's going to be a bloodbath. And like, why are we giving this person the benefit of the doubt when we already saw him like send the mob to try and kill Congress? Like, I don't understand.
But you realize though that of all the other batshit stuff he says, they just ignore it like he never said it. But for this, for some reason, this particular phrase they have latched onto, and my only conclusion is because they know exactly what he meant, and they're trying to get out in front of him and spin. But the other stuff, they're like, yeah, we can't do shit with this, so we're just going to ignore it and just pretend like he never said it.
He said so much insane shit in that rally in Ohio this past weekend that they can't even defend. That's the only thing, you're right, that's the only thing they can focus on.
You know what? But the crazy thing is, to me, that statement that he said, it's not the worst shit that's come out of his mouth to me. Like, every type of
it wasn't the worst thing to come out of his mouth at that rally. He called immigrants like non-human. Like, he called them snakes animals and all kind of crazy shit.
Snakes and yeah.
And then he doubled down in his like fundraising email, like, because of course, as everyone's out here defending him for like calling it a bloodbath thing, he was talking about the automotive industry. Well, his very next campaign fundraiser email was like, bloodbath. Dum 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 dum. Yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, just like the idea that people, I don't understand like why people continue to defend this nonsense. It's very, again, endless cultish behavior on the part of these people. But back to the more relevant point about these primary exit polls. Like, I know I keep saying this, and I know you're going to say, hey, you know, don't get complacent. I'm not being complacent. Just the idea is, with the understanding that if we all show up to vote in 2024, they can't win. It's impossible. Like, these numbers are so mathematically damning. Like, there's no mathematical path
There's no path to victory. There's no.
And it's not. I mean, I guess theoretically there's a way he could dig himself out of this hole. But he's got a number of other disadvantages that he's currently facing, not to mention the fact that he's likely going to be going on trial here in a month.
That wasn't one of the disadvantages already.
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
Imagine someone being like, oh, Carol, she's got a number of disadvantages. And also she has several impending criminal charges. Be like, wait, what were the other problems that you mentioned? The criminal yes. charges is an afterthought. Jeez, I know kind of what they are, but, you know, hyperbole.
Exactly. Yeah, it's that bad. We're like, we're not even I'm not even calculating the ongoing criminal jeopardy that he's facing, the legal jeopardy he's facing, including going on trial in New York here in about a month. And like, again, I'll talk about this on another podcast. Just like the endless amounts of fuckery that he's been engaged in has hampered the likelihood of his success in November. So Ty, Carol, it is official. Trump is now broke Fefe. He can't find an insurance company or any other assurer to underwrite his bond to cover the New York civil fraud case judgment that would supposedly require him to put up close to $500 million. Happy times. So his attorney said in court that he approached over 30 underwriters to back the bond. Yeah, he went around begging for change from everybody, and nobody bit, and this is a quote from their filing, the legal filing. The amount of the judgment with interest exceeds $464 million, and very few bonding companies will consider a bond of anything approaching that magnitude. You have any idea what kind of takeaways we might get from this development in the Trump civil fraud judgment?
Ooh, okay. Let's get some. Okay, he's broke, as you mentioned. He's a bad risk. Insurers, nobody wants anything to fucking do with him because they think he's going to lose the case and they will, and not.
Not only
pay
that.
His judgment because he doesn't pay his debts.
I think they also know that he is going to lose the election. Because if the foreign Orban was down there, and I know he's like, best I can do is an endorsement. Elon offered him a horse. That was it. That was all they had for him. You know, and I'll do some fuckery on Twitter for you. But they know. Because if, when he was running in 2016, they believed that he would be helpful. So in his speeches, there was all kinds of like Tom Barrack, all kinds of deals going on with the Saudis behind the scenes, what have you. Jared secured that $500 million to save his 666 Park Avenue property prior to, because they were like, okay, they were hedged the bets. They were betting on the horse. But now.
Even after he's been president.
Yeah. I mean, you got Steve Mnuchin talking about that he did get $1 billion, which nobody talks about. Jared got two, but Mnuchin got one. You know what I'm saying? And that's,
I'm glad you reminded me of that, because like I totally forget how many people who were in Trump's cabinet literally cashed out on their way out of office. But yeah,
cashed out. And then here Mnuchin is now talking about, yo, y'all, let's put our bread together and buy this TikTok thing. But however, not one of them motherfuckers is like, let's put our money together and get
and bail Trump out.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's incredible.
A lot cheaper than TikTok. But, but that's because I honestly believe they know that he is going to lose, because otherwise they would be securing their cozy
positions. But they also want him to lose.
Well, yeah. Well,
I agree.
Not necessarily. Well, some of them are like, yes. Okay.
You don't think
a lot.
They would rather have like Nikki Haley, who would like who would allow them to quietly commit their atrocities instead of having someone constantly saying, like, look, here's what we're gonna do. Everyone be ready to protest. And then be like,
let me do some unpacking. Okay. So yes, obviously there are a number of individuals, even on the right, who want Trump to lose, but they would prefer, if at all possible, that Trump not lose to Joe Biden, but to a Republican. But we're past that theoretically. I mean, I guess there's a scenario where Trump could end up not being the nominee, but in all likelihood, he's going to be the guy. And if you got the opportunity to purchase a United States president for $500 million, you do that. You pull the trigger on that. And you want to know how I know you do that? Because Chubb Insurance pulled the trigger on $100 million. They were like, we're going to get in on the ground floor of this bitch.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously after facing some backlash from their shareholders, they were like, ooh, maybe we don't know about this whole extra $500 million on top of that $100 million. And that lets you know that if they were willing to put, if like the $100 million was too high for them, the $500 million being like an impossibility after you've already put $100 million down, like it's breaking bad over there. And again, yeah. I don't know how much of his properties he had to leverage in order to get that $100 million, but he ain't got enough. He doesn't have enough assets. Okay, there's so much. First of all, a lot of these companies were also looking for like liquid assets to insure the bond, and not looking, you know, for like real estate and such, you know, which is like his major asset. It,
yes,
but like, also like. Yeah, no, but and I talked about this on Tony Michael's podcast earlier today. So if you feel like checking it out, go ahead. Your boy showed out on there. But so can and I'll give Trump some leeway here and say that, you know, I can only assume that with all the properties in his portfolio, he does have, you know, $1 billion to $2 billion worth of real estate if it was clean. You know, if it didn't have any loans against the properties
and encumbrances and stuff. Yes.
Yeah. So but if that were the case, coming up with $500 million, while difficult, especially with New York real estate, there should be a reasonably straightforward process to do that. Right. What do? You just take out more. You take out $500 million worth of loans against your property. Boom. You got $500 million in the bank. Boom. You can get the creditors to insure your bond. The fact that he can't do that means this shit is underwater. It's underwater.
Like he couldn't. Well, see, I remember nobody seems to be bringing this up. Right when that judgment came, well, it was either right before the judgment came down or so, he said he filled out in paperwork that he had $400 million,
baby.
Cash, that he was liquid. That he was liquid to that amount.
Yeah, where's that $400 million at? Exactly. But, and I talked about this on Tony Michaels too. I'm sorry, I keep on repeat like name dropping. It's not really what I'm doing here. But in the filings where he's like, yeah, we got the $400 million cash. Yeah, okay, great. But again, like you got $1 billion. It might be over $1 billion worth of loans maturing that he has to pay down this year. And like, yeah, maybe he does have $400 million in the bank. But that shit is basically accounted for already. And like, he can't afford to put that in escrow or use that to insure his bond. Cause like once you use that money to get the bond from a shorter, he can't spend it. And like, he's got all these loans he's got to fucking pay off. He's like got an incredible run rate at some of his properties that don't make any money. So like that cash is probably accounted for if he ever had it at all. And again, like, and another thing, like people aren't pointing out, like Trump always got a financial monitor in place, ensuring that he can't engage in any fucking shenanigans.
So Barbara something, the judge Barbara.
Yes. Barbara Jones. So the fact that Judge Jones, if you're
Judge
nasty.
Coach Barbara Jones.
Yes. So the fact that Trump is unable to like, well, again, why is Trump in this position in the first place? He got sued by the New York Attorney General for fraudulently inflating the value of his assets in order to get these loans and deflating them for tax purposes. Although I don't think he got charged for that particular fraudulent activity. Well, here's the thing. Well, you need to go out and get more loans to get more money to cover this bond. Well, damn, now you can't lie on your financial statements because you got someone right there watching over your shoulder, making sure you don't do no more fraud. That's why he's fucked.
Anyway, I don't know
he thought with regard to that particular civil case and his financial situation.
Yes.
Not the other reasons he's fucked.
I don't know why he would think that he would be a good look and that would make him a good like, you know what? I'm gonna lend this dude some money while he's lying, but he fucks everybody. And somebody was saying, yeah, he can just file, you know, bankruptcy to get out of it. But there ain't no way shareholders would be like, yeah, you know what? I stayed for the fascism. However,
well, here's the thing. Like, he can't file for bankruptcy and dismiss this judgment because of like some New York state laws where basically these judgments aren't dischargeable.
Yeah.
So bankruptcy wouldn't bail him out. And, okay. But like, again, with all these loans coming due, he still might file for bankruptcy. And then again, Letitia James is about to, you know, we're about to be in Letitia James Tower starting next week in all likelihood.
But Trump is so dumb. He would think that he could because he also thinks he has presidential immunity. He also thinks that the Presidential Records Act meant that he could just walk national security secrets out of a vault.
Ty, I don't think he actually believes that. I think that's just what he says because he's a sociopath.
You know what? I honestly want to believe he doesn't really believe this. But I think
there's no way.
Damn. Hold on. But I think he is so far gone, dude.
Carol, we got to get her to put on some pants.
Was she not wearing pants?
I'm sorry. I just totally distracted. Look, so I forgot where I was going. Look, again, it's the fact that no one's willing to try and buy the future president of the United States for $500 million.
8061. What was the code?
3601.
3601. Oh.
Yeah, in case this is in the podcast, I ordered Ty some pizza.
Do not tell anybody your code. Do not read your code. We will never call you for your code.
So I ordered Ty some pizza because she had an unfortunate incident with Uber Eats where the driver just totally disappeared her fucking food and didn't deliver it in the fashion that they were supposed to. And also, you know, this podcast isn't paying. So Ty's financial situation is a little tight after spending $60 on some pizza and wings.
And a plane
ticket, of course, obviously. I left out the part where you're traveling to Chicago. That no one's willing to plop down $500 million in order to purchase them a president, or at least no one in the United States is willing to.
No, nobody wants to spend $400-500 million to purchase an inmate. That's what they don't want to spend $500 million on.
Totally fair. All right. We got to keep it moving because like we've got, again, more than we can cover. We'll never get to the end of this. Like, it's one of those things where every week I'm like, yeah, so we didn't get to. It looks delicious. The pizza. Looks fantastic. She's in Chicago. For some reason, she decided to get thin crust pizza. And we were questioning her judgment. But upon delivery, upon receipt, we're like, actually, that might not have
been
a terrible
idea. But she
got it
from Lumalnati's.
Lumalnati's, yo. Shout out to Big Lou's. Go grab you
sponsor
some of that.
Us. I would never say a bad word about you.
No, your pizza looks fucking fantastic.
And I will work for pizza.
Yeah, you don't have to send us any money. Just send us some slices of that za, yo. In a blow to Trump's defense in the New York hush money trial, which, you know, I guess technically is the 2016 election. It's the original OG election interference trial. Judge Merchan ruled that Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen can testify in Trump's New York criminal trial, but prosecutors won't be able to show the grab him by the pussy tape in the trial, and the tape won't be entered into evidence. But the judge will allow for a description of the tape. In all likelihood, I guess the judge came to the conclusion that the tape itself was more prejudicious. What was that?
Than the value?
Oh, I thought Carol made a face. I didn't know what she was saying.
Oh, it was prejudicial.
Yeah, that the I can't talk.
I only know how to pronounce the words. Don't ask me to.
It helps because you are also an attorney, Carol. So
that's what I said. And I only know how to pronounce the words.
fair enough. The tape would be undue prejudice against Trump in this case, even though it's not necessarily directly correlated to the charges. But again,
yeah, it's not fair that everybody knows all the stuff that he did. It makes them hate him.
Well, that was one of the things Trump's legal team argued in suppressing the tape.
Yeah, I know. And it's fucking stupid.
They were like, oh, well, everyone knows about the tape. It's so public. Like, there's no need to enter it into evidence. I mean, I guess. And look, we don't know what the new New York AG's office, like the level of evidence that they're going to present at the trial. And I would assume that like a lot of prosecutors had questions about the office bringing this case. Bragg's decision making in choosing to go with this over like what ended up being the civil fraud trial and not bringing criminal charges in that regard. But I imagine like if he pulled the trigger on this, then obviously he's probably got some kind of airtight slam dunk case. And especially with Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen, who was like in the inside, like testifying at the trial, I assume that they think they'll be able to like nail this down pretty easily. And I think a lot of people forget, like Michael Cohen went to jail for this shit.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, I mean, I never felt like that about this not being worthy of bringing. I think it's all worthy of being brought, all of it. And so I was never on that bandwagon, but I think
your pizza sounds delicious from the way you're eating it. sorry. Didn't mean to derail the podcast.
But looking at where things are now and how this timeline is like a doomsday clock, how close we are for any kind of accountability and stuff, I'm glad he brought it. Because this right now seems to be it might be all we get before November. And I want something. I want something. I want something on record. Not just knowing that he did it, not just hearing that he did it, I want something on his permanent record. I want something that is that can go down in the history books.
Plus, I'd like them to ask him about how he is faring with the ladies these days so that he could be like, well,
I think I do like about this, Ty, the thing about like you're not like a people thinking this isn't like worthy of being brought to trial, I think it's because of it's presented in the context of like, oh, it's hush money payments, but that's really not what it was. Cause like they had arrangements for paying off people to suppress stories. And they went well outside of that arrangement in this particular instance, cause they wanted to make sure that there was no avenue for this story to become public on the eve of the election. So they were laundering money through the Trump campaign and lying about what it was used for to pay Michael Cohen. And then he was taking that money and paying Stormy Daniels out of his pocket so that it wouldn't appear in any financial disclosure forms. Like when Trump is constantly streaming election interference, like he really is projecting, because this is literally that. Like he went out of his way. Cause, and again, like, the thing is, you got to keep in mind, I know 2016 was a long time ago, but you got to think about what was going on at the time. And this is partly why the tape was was largely relevant is because it was around that time when that tape dropped, and it almost potentially derailed Trump's campaign. Like, if one more negative story in that regard had come out, it would have been over for him. And like, the only thing that saved him from the tape tanking his campaign is literally later that evening, WikiLeaks dumped Hillary Clinton's emails out to the public. In the yes, I'm aware, Ty. I too am giving the media the finger for like nearly destroying our democracy to cover Hillary Clinton's emails. It's insane. So like if this story had been made public, that would have ended Trump's run to the White House in 2016, and we never would have gotten the Trump administration. And, you know, honestly, Trump wouldn't be in this position now. So really, you can't, I mean, of course, his own bad behavior is to blame. But like, the fact that he became president is what put him in a position to continue going down this path of endless crime, along with the scrutiny that ended up getting him indicted. But alas, yes, I know that like endless topics.
He truly brought this upon himself.
Yes, he did.
Every conceivable way.
Every conceivable way. So I'm going to talk about this on the next episode of the podcast, but it's also ironic. So I was talking to Carolyn Ty earlier about how you do, like, there's so many endless Trump scandals. Like, it's incredible the rate that he's able to commit crime after crime. Like, you know, at the end of every day, you're like, whew, that was a lot. You can't possibly be any more. And then you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning and you find out, voila, there was another crime, another, you know, random criminal endeavor that Trump engaged in with the breaking news occurring before you even wake up in the morning. And it appears as though there was a settlement where a former Trump employee was sexually harassed on the job, and Alina Babo. I don't know what the fuck I did there.
That's the one and only Alina
Baba. I somehow combined Christina Bob and Alina Haba into one individual that would totally that would turn a traffic ticket into like a 20-year prison sentence. But no, Alina Haba, it engaged in some shady activity in which she befriended this person, acting as an independent entity, and persuaded her to hire Alina Haba as her counsel, and then got this lady to enter into a disfavorable hush money agreement, an arrangement very similar to what Stormy Daniels endured, that Trump is currently going on trial for here. And it's just insane that like weeks before an illegal hush money payment trial, news breaks of yet another illegal hush money payment. It's fucking insane. I think I said it was inception, but with felonies.